Okay, so after a long and busy week, it's time to wind down a little bit, and it's time for That's Entertainment. Here on the 9 till noon show, as we ease our way into the weekend, and we have back in studio with us what some might describe as the dream team. Michael Leddy, writer and a blogger, and also Fionnuala Rabbit. Hello all.
Hi.
How are you
all
keeping?
Hello, we're keeping very well.
How's life, Michael? I'll ask you first.
Life, coming in to see you, Greg, has just turned my life around this morning, and this is the highlight.
I sense a tone of...
That's what they were saying to me out there too. Okay. Son of sincerity, Greg, is what you're picking up on.
That feels significant.
Yes.
That feels significant.
So enjoy the crack. Sure, enjoy the crack. Why wouldn't I enjoy the crack?
Fionnuala, yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just trying to figure out which one of the dream team that obviously brings to mind OJ's...
his
team.
His team of lawyers. Kardashian? Am I the... If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
You go straight to the courts, though. For some, it could be a football team. It could be, there's lots of...
Am I right in thinking there was a Sky drama dream team, wasn't there, about...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was about a football club. Yeah, it was like a pre...
That's right.
Ted Lasso kind of
I think
idea.
That was one of the launch shows for Sky One, or whatever
yes,
it might have been called.
Something like that. And I never watched it... But I do remember the ads for it. And if I remember correctly, there was a very glamorous lady as sort of the manager or something.
In Coronation. There's a lady.
Really glamorous.
The lady that was one of the stars of its a key character in Coronation Street.
Right,
at the
okay.
I can't
yeah.
remember what her name, but.
No, because it was supposed to be the Wags, wasn't it? It was more about the... There
Maybe.
Was a lot of them called like Chardonnay and all that kind of stuff, as far as I remember.
Which is a beautiful name.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with it, but it's just very waggish.
It fits into that, yeah.
Chardonnay.
It just makes you... You know the way...
Really?
Stop whining about that. See there? I bring the humour.
Absolutely terrible.
I bring
Please,
the humour.
Things improve from here. Don't go anywhere, folks. We really
things improve.
We really want, stroke, need your listenership. Right, okay. Both of you have Civil War down.
We do.
So is this a cinema thing?
Yes, it
right,
is.
Both of you went to it. Do you want to kick off?
Yes, sure. This is in the cinema right now, and it is a movie which looks at present-day America. But in this version of present-day America, there is a full-on civil war taking place. And a couple of states have seceded, and they are mounting an attack on Washington, D.C. But the movie, however, doesn't focus on the politics of the situation. Despite what I've just said, it might sound like it's very much taken from the last 4 or 5 years or even the last decade of American history. It focuses with razor-sharp intensity on four photojournalists who are travelling across this war-torn landscape towards Washington, D.C., and they are hoping to secure an interview with the president of America, who is has dug in the White House. And we stay with them on their journey, which is for a couple of hours. And Kirsten Dunst is the lead in this. And a gentleman who people will recognise from the TV show Narcos, because I couldn't place him for ages last night, Wagner Mourna, is one of her companions. So we get to see various incidents on the road to DC. This is a movie that deals with warfare in a very unglamorous, grim way.
But this portrayal, I mean, listen, there are those that think, and you'd hope it is stretched, that America is a country that could potentially be on the brink of a civil war,
yes,
right?
Of course,
If the direction of traffic were to continue.
Of course, absolutely.
This is an actual representation of what that might look
like.
So
yeah.
We're not talking about this dystopian future or
it's not
apocalyptic.
It's this 2024.
Is how very much
2024,
likely
yeah.
if something like this were to happen,
yeah.
it would pan out.
Exactly.
And I think
and we have to you have to remember, I mean, it's well documented that there are well armed factions all across America. I mean, not just different, you know, in different states you have, you know, militia groups, you have so it
And then
is,
maybe if they split the army.
Yes. Who's loyal to the president, who's loyal
Precisely,
to maybe a person
yeah.
in opposition. But what the movie does is it focuses, it's a movie that doesn't have much political context. It really is, its intent is to be about war in general. We were chatting about this afterwards. And I found that it is somewhat successful in that, but I found it very much focused on the photojournalists. Kirsten Dunst is the lead here, and she gives a universally acclaimed performance as a jaded, celebrated war photographer who makes the observation at one point that she's travelled the world, gone from war zone to war zone, just so something like this could never happen on her doorstep. And now she is...
She probably overstating her role in the
grand,
world.
In the politics.
Yeah. Isn't that really... It's quite nice if she thinks that.
If she thinks that. So it's a grim, very serious-minded film with a few shockingly violent moments. And as one reviewer, I was reading skimming reviews this morning, said that the violence is without any slow motion or anything. It just happens. It just happens. And it's quite shocking, as Fionnuala can attest, for one of the scenes.
I dropped my popcorn.
Dropped is not the word. Jumped. Sprayed everywhere is the... There were people four rows away who were leaving the cinema picking popcorn out of their hats and coats.
I think this sounds like a film, and the way it's portrayed is that dependent on the individual, they'll take something different from it, or what it means, or what it's trying to put across. For you, Fionnuala...
Everything that Michael said with it, you know what I mean? They've taken pains to... show that it's not Republican, Democrat. Like, in it, there's two states that have seceded. It's Texas and California. Two states that in its current state in America, you would imagine could never come together with a combined thought based on what they're, you know, based on the news you hear.
Yes.
So they're very quick. You're not even 100% sure who's the good guys and who are the bad guys, because these are photojournalists. So it's very clear when it shows you some very graphic violence that she's seen across the world, they don't intervene. You know, they're just people who
observers.
Are just, they're just observers, and they've just seen some horrific stuff.
Yes.
So it's not really even about that side of it. I think it's more just kind of the horror of the turn. And to be honest, for me, the movie is like an hour and 40 minutes. Maybe a little bit more. It's one of the few movies that you're like, this could be a bit longer.
Yep.
I was actually going to say that. It sounds like normally we go, oh, my bum's numb. But
I would have liked this to be a little bit longer, because for me, I needed a bit more context for the people. You know, there's a lot of stuff that happens to them, but they try to kind of pull you in very quickly, and I'm not sure do they get you connect with these individuals that are in it. You know, you've got the jaded in it. There's like there's four main characters in it. As I said, you've kind of got the guy that's near retirement age,
the veteran,
kind of
sitting
back veteran guy. Yeah. You've got the two jaded. Then you've got a young person that's
very young,
couldn't wait.
She's
20. You know how sometimes, Fionnuala, we sort of say that in this day and age, you know, there's kind of a short story that's worth of an hour and a half film, and they drag it out into a 10-parter.
Yeah.
Is this one of those rare occasions, maybe, that this is the reverse, that maybe could have been a longer format
series? I think it could have definitely been a longer format. I think the filmmaker was trying to... He's the same filmmaker that did, like, Ex Machina and...
Annihilation. 28 Days Later, perhaps.
He does, he does those kind of, like, really... sort of dystopian, but in the real world type of a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like something that could possibly happen. I mean, that 28 Days Later, as far as I remember, was about
a disease, wasn't it?
A virus.
Rage,
that's what
rage
I thought.
Virus.
And, then
and we did subsequently see the streets of London
completely closed.
Completely empty.
Machina, as far as I remember watching it years and years ago, was about machines kind of overcoming.
So it's like an AI thing, was it? I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of AI sort of things. So
he has his finger on the pulse.
He does, yeah. So I just think this could have been a little bit longer for me. I would have liked a little bit more. I know he was trying to avoid, I think, because I was even listening to, because the guy that plays the president is, say his
Nick
name.
Nick Offerman.
Love him. And but his role is very small in it. And I saw him being interviewed afterwards. I was watching him, and he was saying, you know, they didn't want people to be walking out thinking Democrats and Republicans. They wanted them to be thinking more about the concept, you know, in a bigger way. And maybe that's why he didn't go into much depth into it. But it's definitely an interesting one to watch. And you definitely, we were saying to Mike, you definitely, it's one you want to go and see it with somebody.
People, yeah.
Because you're going to want to talk about it.
It's a talking point.
You know, it's
point
one of those
film.
Movies that you'll see, and you'll definitely want to talk about the different
is
things.
Is this Don't Look Up was to climate change what is to sort of geopolitical or even internal disputes?
It's an interesting one.
People that, you know, in other words,
it's not trying to teach you anything, though, the way Don't Look Up was very much kind of.
Well, is it not trying to teach us in that we could be on the brink of this type of stuff? You have to understand, that sells patch.
No, go on.
But there used to be a point where you could make an emotive argument because it hurt someone, right? But now you can't, because that person's collateral damage to my point. You know, and you know, that's festering. And how far away are we from a neighbour turning a gun on another person?
Oh, yeah,
they don't agree with for a bigger cause. Now, I haven't seen this, but I just wonder if this is, will it serve to say that, you know, this is a film, but,
it happens
in other parts of the world. Yeah, is the unthinkable potentially possible in a country like the United States?
Or what you're saying,
I'm digging too deep.
What you're saying resonates. I think it holds a mirror up to a lot of what's happening in modern day America. So you could be on the track. I would never have looked at it quite that way.
To be honest, for me to do what you're talking about, it would need to go deep, deeper.
Right. Yeah.
It's very much kind of what I found about it, which I'd say will reflect, is people don't seem to really know exactly what's going on, except that they're all fighting each other.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's that kind of a feeling that you get from it, rather than, you know, at no point does it say what happened.
Yeah.
What was the turning point that, you know what I mean, that actually
But
broke.
I think that's what it's a gift in the audience, sort of. That's why I think it's so subjective, so people might go, well...
It's more about the conversation.
Could it be the debate on this? Could it be the debate on that? Could it be...
Well, I think which is unlike, you know what I mean? Don't Look Up was very much kind of like, you know...
The media is ignoring. Yeah, the media is ignoring it. Yeah.
We have to stop this. We have to do
X. More preachy then.
It was a little bit more. Yeah. Whereas this is very much, like I said, this is more that you'd want to go and see it with somebody. Very hard. I was saying to Mike straight away when it ended, I was like, if you were sitting in the cinema on your own now after watching this, frustrating because you would be like searching online wherever to find somebody to talk about it.
Yes, you would.
It's one of those.
Even if it was just to say, if you were just saying what probably started it, you'd want to talk about that.
Yeah, there's lots of different bits. But
if you were a director and that was your aim, you've hit the jackpot, haven't you? Yeah. If you want it to be a discussion point.
Yeah, if you want and maybe that's exactly why it's so short and why it's so, you know what I mean? It holds your attention. There's a lot of stuff happening in it. There's no kind of like, you know, big, long, speechy conversations. Nope. At the most, it's more about the kind of, even in the silences, you know, Kirsten Dunst is excellent.
But when you see sort of, you know, civilians with guns, fighter jets flying over, scenery that we're used to seeing in different types of films,
exactly,
or missiles going off in urban areas that seem what somewhat familiar. It's like,
that's exactly what it is.
Quite
and
shocking,
it's like at one point you see kind of neighbour hurting neighbour and just atrocities happening.
Oh, yeah.
That are just kind of like a part of the normal life, what you'd normally
think
you'd see.
But does this not bring to the West what we somewhat ignore in the Middle East?
That's exactly what I was thinking as I was saying that. Yeah, it's like you just see,
we dehumanize, we dehumanize.
Desensitize to it, or dehumanize each other.
Well,
we're desensitized to it.
Because it's like anything, it's just you think things are so far away, you just assume it'll never happen here. You know, I think it's one of those things.
Because we're
now
civilized,
inverted
commas. Yeah. And I don't believe that.
No, but that's over there.
Justification,
now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, that happens over there.
Yeah.
That's not something.
And they do that kind of thing, but we wouldn't. It would never happen here.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in it, and you kind of think that's stuff that they've seen in, you know, or that we've seen in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But I think that for an American audience in particular, I would imagine that it's a little bit more hitting home when you see it.
I found interesting in just watching the trailer is the visuals of journalists walking around in flak jackets and helmets with press on.
Yeah.
In familiar urban environments of the United States of America.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. And you see people go with UNICEF things trying to do like food banks, and you have, you know,
you see in one scene it's a beautifully shot film and a lot of critics have commented on that, but in one scene you have like a downed helicopter in front of a JCPenney store.
Mm-hmm.
And that image is really powerful. And I mean, I can only imagine how that would resonate with an American audience.
It sounds to me like we're not getting a beginning and a middling and an end then.
No, it's just like...
how do you finish this film off? Obviously, we can't discuss it now.
No, but you're right, It's
a moment in time kind of an idea.
It's like 48 or 72 hours in the lives of these people, really, isn't it? It's just this journey.
It really is. Yeah. They have 600 kilometres to drive, or miles, it's American, so it probably is miles. They have 800, I think, to start off with, miles to drive.
Spoiler.
And that's basically what it is.
Shush!
Okay.
And then the number goes down.
Again.
The number goes
again,
down.
Again. That felt significant.
No, it's not at all. No, he's just taking
Right, so this sounds like a film that it takes a wee while to figure out what you'd give it out of 10.
It does.
Have you come to your conclusion?
I have. I'm going to first of all say that critics and audiences are on the same page. 82% and 77%. And I'm going to land in exactly the same place. A good 8 out of 10.
Ms. Rabbit?
Yeah, I would be close. I think I'd be a little bit less because six. Just... Well, I would still go about
you
a 7 with it.
Some poo.
I know. But I love. My whole thing is I need to connect with the characters.
I've been doing this a long time with you.
I know. Oh God, I absolutely.
Some
do.
Of the trash.
I absolutely
you've given
do.
Six
You'll be
amazed.
I mean, Bridgerton is out next month, and I'm very excited.
But that's the naughty one. I keep mixing that up with Downton
I'm
Abbey.
I'm hoping it's getting less naughty because, like, I keep saying it's the neighbor.
No, I saw some stills in one of the newspapers.
Oh, stop! Don't tell me that now because it's the neighbor's child, so I definitely don't want to be seeing that. But the. I would definitely give this a 7 or so. It's more I'd actually would have liked it longer.
Yeah.
I would have liked a little bit more for me to, I just need a little bit more kind of background and then to really kind of care about what happened. It's very shocking, you know, it's shocking. It hits, like I said, fucking.
As the people who were picking popcorn under their hair last night can attest, Fionnuala was shocked.
Yeah,
it was. It was definitely
enjoyable.
Enjoyable is a weird word to use for it. It's that kind of a movie, but you'll definitely end up talking about it, and it's definitely.
And I would imagine this looks unbelievable on the big screen.
Big screen film, yeah.
Yes, it
big
does.
Screen
it
film, yeah.
And even just to see, you know, because America is so familiar to us, there's lots of little spots in it that you're kind of like, all right, I know where that is, and to see them kind of like. You know, bombing it or blowing it up and shooting all around it.
Well, particularly when they get to Washington in the last third of the movie. I mean, we know Washington. You know, we've seen it on 24. We've seen it on the West Wing. We've seen it on everything. We recognize many landmarks.
Yeah.
And we get to see them in a completely different context in this film. And it is very interesting, thought provoking film.
Definitely much better than Khan versus Godzilla, which is the other movie.
No, it's not.
You made me go.
No, it's not.
Right, let's take a break. And well, it sounds like there's a difference of opinion there, so we might have to go to that one after these. Now, Michael and Fionnuala will be back with us momentarily, but I want to tell you about the renowned theatre company Grease Paint Productions. They're returning to St Mary's Hall, Buncrana, with a beautiful interpretation of Brian Friel's masterpiece, Dancing at Lunason. Sheila Brown, who plays Kate Mundy and is also assisting with props, costume and administration, joins us. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in. Maria Doherty-Lee plays Rose Mundy. Good morning to you.
Morning.
And lastly, but certainly not least, Janet McGrory plays Agnes Mundy. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping grand.
Right, this is, it's a big play, isn't it? You know what I mean? There's great responsibility in taking something like this on because you want to do it justice, and I'm sure, I've no doubt at all that you will. But that in itself makes it exciting, Sheila.
It does, very much so, especially because of where we're performing it, the location, geographically so, back home in Donegal with a Donegal cast. And Grease Paint are delighted to have the opportunity to do this, to have secured the rights in order to be able to do this. The fact that it's Grease Paint's 12th show, Grease Paint originated in 2008. So we've always hankered a desire to do this show on home ground. So I'm very excited to do that.
Maria, do you want to sort of, for those who may not be aware, give us a wee outline of the story that's told?
Yeah, so it's, in essence, Dancing at Lunason is a memory play. So it's all told from the perspective of Michael Evans, about 25, 30 years after the play takes place in Ballybeg in 1936. And it's told from Michael's point of view, from his memory of that particular summer. It's a very pivotal summer in the lives of the Mundy family. Change happens. It's just before World War II. The Industrial Revolution is about to come to Ballybeg. And it's really about the struggles and the day-to-day life that the five unmarried sisters go through. And music and dancing is at the heart of it. And that's probably because that is the summer they got their first radio, Marconi. And so that's something that really resonates with Michael as he moves through his life, that memory of the aunts and the music and the dancing. And at times you don't know, is this factual or is this just Michael's childhood imaginings or memories as they go through? So there's laughs, there's tears. It's a very emotive play, and there's something in it for everyone. And there's definitely elements of life in Donegal that we probably all remember growing up from our grandparents and aunts and uncles.
There's a familiarity.
And it's very nostalgic. And
Janet, not jumping forward, but then jumping back, you know, the rights were referenced, and maybe people who aren't in the scene don't realise that, you know, there was a, this is, to be able to secure the rights to actually put this on in and of itself was a big step.
Oh, it was indeed, because only one production company can do it at a time. So it was great for us to achieve that, to be able to get the rights to play it, yeah.
Yeah, OK, and which is a great endorsement too of the company.
It is indeed, yes.
All right, OK. So tickets are just €12, which seems very... which seems very generous, if I could put it like that. A great value. It's at St Mary's Hall, Buncrana, from Wednesday the 24th of April until Saturday the 27th of April at 7:30 p.m. nightly. Sheila, is this for a general audience?
Oh, absolutely. Very much so. And can I just say, on the back of the ticket sales, we en route, our director, Mr. Donal Henderson, told us to disseminate that we have a offer for Highland Radio listeners.
Oh, wow, okay.
From 12 noon today until 12 noon tomorrow, when you are purchasing your tickets, if you submit or enter or say the code DANCE, capital letters DANCE, then you will get a reduced rate for your ticket.
Okay,
from 12
stuff.
Noon today to 12 wow. noon tomorrow.
Fantastic. So a 24-hour window which opens mm-hmm. in half an hour. Quote or say the word dance, and you will actually even get to watch this great production for less than the already reasonable, I think, €12. So ticketsource.eu/greasepaint-productions. And this runs from, I just want to recap, 24th of April, that's the middle of next week, till Saturday the 27th of April. Because, as you've mentioned, Janet, the window of opportunity, we don't know when a production of this, be it by you guys or anyone else, might be available in Donegal again. So this is significant.
Oh, it is indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to do a bit for us?
We will.
We do.
Yeah,
so who wants to set it up? Sheila, I'm getting Sheila vibes from setting this up. Am I right?
That is.
And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Absolutely. And I am method acting because I play the character of Kate, who is the eldest sister. We have our elder brother Michael, who is our missionary brother, who has been in Rwanda for the last 25 years as a missionary priest. He returns, and to the family of five unmarried sisters who have their ups and downs and ins and outs. And this is a good example of it. This scene, Kate is quite the matriarch who rules with an iron rod.
Yeah, she's
and her authority is evident throughout the play.
So we have Sheila playing Kate. We have Maria playing Rose and Janet playing Agnes across the whole play, but also for the benefit of this short excerpt. So whenever you are ready, ladies.
This shorter excerpt is when the girls decide that they would like, because it is the festival of Lunasa in August, summertime, it's a pagan festival. Kate is not keen, but the girls want to go because they want to dance. We don't get out much and they would like to go. And so really it's the conversation around that.
Wouldn't it be a good one if we all went to the harvest dance, just like we used to, all dressed up? I think I'd go.
I'd go too, Aggie. I'd go with you.
For heaven's sake. You're not serious, Agnes, are you?
I think I am.
Ha! It's more than Ballybeg off its head. Have you any idea what it'd be like crawling with cheeky young brats that I taught years ago and all the riffraff of the countryside?
I think we should all go. What do you say? You look great in that cotton dress you got for confirmation last year. You're beautiful in it, Kate. And you can wear my brown shoes with the crossover straps.
This is silly talk. We can't, Agnes. How can we?
Will Maggie go with us?
Oh, God, Agnes. What do you think?
We're going.
Are we?
We're off. We're away.
Maybe we're mad. Are we mad?
I've £5 saved. I'll take us all. How many years has it been since we were at the harvest dance? At any dance? And I don't care how young they are, how drunk and dirty and sweaty they are. It's the festival of Lunasa. I'm only 35 and I want to dance, Kate.
Ach, I know. I know, Agnes, I know. But all the same, oh my God, I just don't know.
It's settled. We're going. The Monday girls, all five of us together. Like we used to.
I love you, Aggie. I love you more than chocolate biscuits.
No. 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 We're going nowhere. Look at yourselves. Will you just look at yourselves? Dancing at our time of day.
That's for young people with no duties and no responsibilities and nothing in their head but pleasure.
Kate, I think if
we... Do you want the whole countryside to be laughing at us? Women of our years, mature women, dancing. What's come over y'all? And this is Father Jack's home. We must never forget that. Ever. No, no. We're going to No Harvest Dance.
But you just said...
And there'll be no more discussion about it. The matter is over and I don't want it mentioned again.
Well done. Sounds brilliant. I got lost in that a little bit, in a really positive way, actually. I kind of want to hear what happens next. You
know
what I
mean? Good.
Okay,
good,
so good. That's just a sample, an audio sample. Of course, this is a very visual production as well of what you can enjoy. Well worth travelling to Buncrana if you're not from the Inishowen area. It's from Wednesday the 24th of April until Saturday the 27th of April at 7:30 p.m. nightly. Tickets are just €12, but as we heard from Sheila, a special offer for you listening today that if you quote the word dance when booking your tickets online, or I'll find out how else you can get them, you actually get it. You actually get a discount on the already reasonable €12. And as I say, not easy to secure the rights to this play. And it just so happens to be now that it can be shown in Donegal for all of the importance of that with Mr. Friel and its location, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Well, it sells itself to some extent. So other than the ticketsource.ie/greasepaint-productions, where can tickets be got?
We have a box office which opens on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. So you can pop in person, and if you can't pop in person to buy your tickets, then you can telephone during box office hours on 086-459-5016. And if you quote dance, then you also get your discount.
Yeah, and we will, by the way, we will post all this on our social media. It's very hard to pick up numbers that you're not familiar with, but we'll do the links and we'll do the number and all that jazz. Right, okay. Thanks so much, Sheila, Maria and Janet. Love it. And thank you so much for calling down. It's going to be a huge success. But there's only a couple of... four shows, would that be? I'm not very good with inclusive days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Four shows,
Wednesday,
yeah.
Thursday, Friday, four. Okay. Yeah. Four opportunities. And it's in the wonderful setting of St. Mary's Hall. Yeah. Okay, thank you all three of you very much indeed. And check out our social media in the next few minutes. We'll get that info up there for you. Back with more after these. Really enjoyed that. Thanks to the ladies once again for calling down. And go on our socials, Facebook, Highland Hub. We'll have the links up for you if you want to secure your ticket for that show, and you can hear from the quality of the presentation. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Okay, now the Highland Radio Customer Services Awards in association with McElhenney's. Well, we're now doing our final call for nominations. Don't miss out on the opportunity to nominate your favourite business for the Highland Radio Customer Services Award in association with McElhenney's Department Store. If you haven't already submitted your nomination, now is the perfect time to do so. Nominations will be closing on Tuesday, April 23rd, so make sure to act fast. Now, of course, to also businesses, don't be shy, don't be coy. You're all on social media. Make sure that those that you go to an awful lot of effort to please and to serve and what have you, that they know this is happening as well. Stick it up on your socials and get them to nominate you. Because the award ceremony, and we want you there, is scheduled. I like the word scheduled as if... possibly. No, but it is definitely. It's only scheduled. Definitely. It's taking place on June 2nd at the Mount Erigal Hotel. And if it's anything, the last one's anything to go by, it will be an unforgettable evening. Wonderful thing to be involved with, to be even a small part of. Get to highlandradio.com now to nominate. It's a really simple process, it has to be said. And it's just a little something that won't cost you anything to back your local business, your local DINRA, your local community hall, your local whatever it might be. Fionnuala, you're going to back me on this. Get the nominations in. It's brilliant response already, but hey. The
oh, no, matter. Look at it. It's amazing. Like when we did this last year, I think we had something like 14 or 15,000 nominations for businesses all across the county. They don't have to be anywhere in particular. They can be online only. They can be whatever you want. If people have had a good customer experience with any kind of a business or service across the county, they should send it in. Because I think the good thing about this is, and what's interesting for the businesses is, it's the nomination is really what the prize is, because it just goes to show you that the work and the effort. I mean, customer service is one of those things that a lot of businesses put so much work into, but they're not making any money out of it. You know what I mean? They're making money out of whatever the product is that they're selling. When they're putting in that extra service, when they're training their staff well, when they're, you know, setting up a culture within their business that the customer, you know, is valued and is important and that they want to give back to them, then I, you know, that's something that's an extra that they're, you know, cost that they're bringing to themselves. So it's great for them to be rewarded for it. And I think it's great for the public to acknowledge the good service.
And
that
we start
get.
Too from square one, by the way. So if you were nominated last year and you weren't successful, don't let that deter you. As I say, we start from square one. If you won last year, go again, because who's to say that you might not be a double award winner, which is a great thing to be able to advertise and to reassure your customers or potential customers that you're the right person to provide such services. OK, so get onto our website, highlandradio.com, anticipating hopefully a big rush to, we've already had a huge response, but before the end. And it doesn't matter if you're on the tip of Tory or at the bottom of Bundoran, you can nominate businesses there.
Oh, okay. Or if you're self-employed, or if you have 1,000 people working for you.
Power washing.
Yeah.
I got power washing done. Absolutely amazing. I can't say or not whether I nominated, because can I?
Yeah,
nominate.
You can. Okay, okay. Of course you can nominate away, yeah.
I did. If you see something from John Smith, that's me. Yeah. no, but you know what I mean? It's just different stuff.
Yeah.
What are you laughing?
No, everybody can nominate.
That's an incredible talent there you have for fake names. Incredible. If you turn to a life of crime, we're all done for.
Okay, we'll never find you.
Well, if you see me, a John Smith in the hotel, I wouldn't book the room next door.
Now I'm grossed out.
Oh,
oh God.
No, your granny could watch what's going on inside. Just be sleeping and stuff. Right, I am...
Playing Snap.
We're going to talk about a film now that I know I will never watch, whether it's on ITV2 in 10 years' time or in the cinema. Godzilla and
Someday
King Kong.
Someday you'll be sitting with all your boys and you'll be... And
you will.
Like, oh, come
well,
on.
You will.
Okay, right, well, anyway.
I can totally see it.
This is making me favour Fionnuala going first for some reason, I don't know. Right, what's the premise?
Oh, premise is it's stretching it, isn't
what
it?
What is the obsession thing? With Godzilla?
I don't understand now, and that's why I'm good to go first, because
I'm just going to be upset listening
a certain gentleman
to my fingers
right
in my
said,
ears.
Oh my God, you'd love it. We were in the cinema watching something else, I'd say about a month ago, and the trailer came up. And I, of course, in my lofty position in life, rolled my eyes and went, oh, no. And he was like, oh, my God, you'd love it. And then proceeded to send me links to clips of the earlier movies just to get me up to date.
Who needs enemies when you've got friends?
Just to get me up to speed. And
I'm
then
rising
sent
above
me,
all
and
this
sent me like plot details and key characters and that of the previous movies, so that when I went to see this, I didn't feel lost. Now, to say that there's a story to this story is bizarre. I have seen stuff with Michael before in which I was like, oh, rolling my eyes. And actually, they were quite enjoyable. They were daft, but they were enjoyable. This, I just don't get it. I just couldn't get it at all. I'm going to let Michael explain the story. But basically, it's about Kong and Godzilla, and now they're best friends.
That's it.
They're best friends forever.
I feel like the subtleties.
I don't think Fionnuala's actually
the target audience.
No, well, I don't think she's actually said enough bad about this before. I'm going to let you
know. Oh, right, okay.
You know what was strange about this movie? I went to this movie assuming from, like, it's a long time since I've seen a Kong or Godzilla movie. I'm saying now it was probably back in the 80s. You
same,
know what I mean?
The same. That's
like,
my,
I don't think
that's
I've
my
seen,
reference point.
I'm not really big into the kind of monster movies as these things come in. I either find them farcical or too scary, depending on what the monster is. So I usually stay out of it. But in this, I just, like, at least three quarters, if not more, of this movie was people attempting to make a story. And you're like, do people come to these movies looking for the story? I assumed that I was going to walk in the door and from the get-go...
There has to be a loose narrative, doesn't there?
I know, but they were actually trying to, like, establish an actual narrative. Loose narrative, I'm fine with.
Okay, I get you.
But this was like they were trying to establish an actual narrative, and I was like, should it not just be the one Godzilla and Kong smashing up stuff? Is that not why we're here?
Yeah, but also too, what I don't understand, why not just make it a cartoon? Because even when they try and bring the level of destruction and splashes and bridge destruction into the real world, it's so excessive it doesn't look real to me anymore.
Oh, no, I'll give it its due now. This definitely looks good. I'm going to say CGI. I'm assuming it's probably much
further. No, that was a real, giant monkey.
I'm assuming it's much further because I am due to go to Rio de Janeiro next year. And after this, I'm like, oh, there's no point now. It's destroyed.
It's gone.
Yeah, in fairness. I mean, in this, Godzilla lives in the Colosseum in Rome. And you're like, would you put up with it? I don't think so. It's just daft.
It's just the fighting in the cities. That's what put me off Batman versus Superman. All this destruction and.
But do you not remember? When I see this destruction, I don't mind it because I always just think back to, you remember Team America, and in the opening credits, they absolutely destroy Paris. If anybody has not seen Team America, don't watch it with your granny, but you should totally watch it.
You have to see it.
And it starts off, and they've totally destroyed Paris, and then they get out of the planes, and they hands on hips like they're superheroes. They go, "No need to thank us. We're Team America."
Brilliant. That sums up exactly what I'm talking about. Is Godzuki in this?
Oh my goodness!
How do you remember Godzuki?
What's so funny?
Who's Godzuki?
Godzuki was in the Godzilla. That's way before your time. Godzilla and Godzuki was a Saturday morning. I loved that show.
But they didn't just show it once, you know.
It must have repeated it. But this was, to me, that was the late 70s.
Godzuki was brought into that.
Did your daddy and mammy tell you about that? That was the late 70s.
Get our sleeping bags Saturday morning.
Godzilla and Godzuki,
From the depths.
Yes.
30 stories high. Yeah.
Oh, you got to find the theme. You were playing themes last week.
I know, but I think it kicked a load of people off our socials, so I can't do that now.
Oh, okay.
No, just okay, muted it. Like,
yeah, I know.
I just wish they weren't so.
Yes.
No. You just have to learn how to sing all of them. And
yeah, but that's a pretty good. Now I'll be going home. I'll be going home to YouTube that. That was a great show. I loved
it. Great theme tune.
No idea.
So you don't remember, like, Fang Face, no? 10 o'clock.
No. We're not friends. What I mean by that is. We are friends, right?
But we're not
me
friends.
And you ain't going to be.
We're not going to have that conversation. We're not going to have that conversation.
And I am not going to come and look at your comic collection or stand watching you rewind your videos.
Oh,
now, you want to go out to a quiz or have a pint?
I thought we had connected
there. No, if you want to go to a quiz or go for a pint,
I thought we had connected.
Nah.
I thought we had connected
one
there.
Bloody reference.
Connected.
Come here.
Connected.
Tell us what
so
you
basically,
thought of
I have to say, Fionnuala was wrong about everything she said, and I feel guilty because I brought her to see a film, and the nuances.
How long is it?
And the subtleties of this.
Oh, it's like
movie.
2 hours and 20
2 hours.
Minutes or something. It's
they're lost insane. On Fionnuala, and Fionnuala said to me when we mentioned this first. Fionnuala said to me, and I think that was sums it up. She said. This is very much a boys' film, isn't it?
I think it's a good sign of your friendship, and it did need a kick in the butt.
The kick it did, yeah.
This was a three-hour sacrifice for you.
I know. I'm always giving, though. He just takes off
so let's,
Katie.
Let's That's talk fine. About the film. This is the fifth movie very in the franchise. Sad. Fifth film. The MonsterVerse franchise. These shouldn't work because they're putting together two monster movie icons, but it works. The third movie was the low point. Four was better than three. I loved this film. It really... It broadens the story of the franchise by taking a lot of the action to this inner earth. So it takes it away from the cities for some of the action, and it sets up a whole world inside the hollow earth, a place where King Kong can really shine because he finds his own people. Greg's brilliant. He's nodding away here as if he's listening, but I know he's actually nodded off.
You
just turned on music. Yeah, no, I'm
doing my grocery. So I'm doing my grocery list in my head.
I think this film is great, and I say that in the context of it really better than the last one. It achieves what the director/writer set out to do,
which is
it's big and fun. It's shut off your brain. You start rooting. I love the King Kong character. He's really emerged over his three films in the franchise as this adorable curmudgeon who is like, we're rooting for him. We care about him more than we care about Godzilla. Rebecca Hall as the actress, I thought, was very, very good in this. I like her. Dan Stevens joins the franchise in this film. I don't think he's particularly well cast as the character he's playing, who's meant to be a sort of Ace Ventura, larger-than-life, jokey kind of guy. I like Dan Stevens. I don't think this role suits him. But Rebecca Hall and the others are very good. And there is a story here. I mean, it's like there's like somebody needs help. They send out a telepathic signal. That gets responses from not just some of the characters we've met in earlier films, but also the monsters. You get to see some great fight scenes. It's bigger than larger than it's bigger and larger than life, and it's just great fun.
How much out of 10 then?
9 out of 10 from me.
Oh, sweet God.
Critics.
Who cares what the critics?
Because the critics gave it 54%, but audiences are on the same nose as me, or same points as me, 91%. Because it's great fun, and it's probably.
I think for the type of film it is, they'll be happy enough with 54 from the critics. Yeah, to be honest with you, because like, you know
the only
be a bit
really
snooty.
Weak one was the third one. I will say that was weak, and I think one of the things that's good about this film is they've not brought Millie Bobby Brown back, and she was not an asset to the franchise.
Okay.
She was in 3 and 4, and.
All right, so 9 out of 10. I mean, let's take an average. This is going to drag the average down. But what would you give it out of 10?
Well, even to me, first of all, if I was judging it as a movie that I would go and see, I'd probably give it like a 4 or 5. But my problem with it is there just wasn't enough of the actual fighting in it. Is that not why we like the Fast and the Furious? He made me go and see that as well.
Wouldn't be my cup of tea.
But at least it was Fast and Furious. I could get.
But you like
I could
it
get
was
on
also
board
fast
with
and it was furious. Also furious.
But you like the Transformers. I love the Transformers. But these are interchangeable with these.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, so out of 10.
I mean, if you like that kind of thing, you're probably going to like it. I'd still only give it a 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen better.
You're not the target audience.
Yeah, but I've seen better in that genre that I'm not. Yeah.
You can appreciate it. You might not be the target audience.
I've come out of books and I've got, oh dear. You know, like I said, The Fast and Furious, I mean, you know, Vin Diesel emoting is just
incredible.
Again,
another
big screen one. If you like this stuff, want to go and see it.
Yeah, it's got all that. Okay. It just depends. Yeah. It didn't have enough of what I assume people go to this for.
Yeah. Did she throw any popcorn around for this?
Not for this one, no. And I got to say, if you watch the trailer, I mean, come on, they give King Kong a big glove, a robot glove to punch
with.
Who
makes it?
That's the coolest thing.
Who makes it?
There's scientists who work with him. There's scientists. Okay. And King Kong communicates. He knows sign language.
They basically give
him. Yeah, some critics who didn't like it said it's too much of a superhero film.
Yes.
But it is a superhero film, and the monsters are the heroes.
Well, it's certainly not a documentary. Okay, right. That was mixed views, and I think you as the audience, I think if you're of the mind that Michael is, that's not an insult. You can absolutely love it. If you look for something else in the cinema experience like Fanula, arguably, though they both like the same things as well, I think, though, you'll get a fair sense that I think anyone who goes to see it will enjoy it. It's just whether you come out going, ugh, or yee, really.
Yeah,
and the thing about this film is, if you're going to see this in the cinema, you've probably seen 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you know what you're getting, and you'll come out of this one, I think, saying, oh, actually, that's better. That's one of the better ones.
Let's take a quick break. All right, so it's really good to be able to bring you a positive weather forecast, although it depends on the type of weather you like. Cloud that's around at the moment is going to break up as this day wears on, with sunshine developing towards the end of the day. Temperatures 12 to 13 degrees, winds light to moderate. Dry and clear tonight, little or no wind, lowest temperatures 0 to 4 degrees. So just keep a note of that, gardeners, over the next couple of days, because it is going to get cold at night. The risk of some grass frost further inland. Personally, I don't think it makes any difference. And dry and mainly sunny Saturday, highest temperatures of 13 to 14 degrees. And we're looking at dry weather up until Wednesday. Very little precipitation across the northwest for the next few days. No, and your luck, you're probably going to Galway or something, are you?
No. I'm actually going to be here, which is. I need things to warm up a small bit.
Yeah,
imagine, did you see the Dubai thing? That was unbelievable, wasn't it? The rain.
Unbelievable.
And not only that, I just kept thinking, if I went all the way to Dubai on my holidays to get away from the rain here, and then that happened, I'd be like.
And then probably be disruptions at the airport and all. But they don't have the drainage infrastructure to deal with, you know, a year's rain in a day.
No.
And I don't want to talk lightly about climate change, but come on.
Yeah.
We were promised it was going to get hot. We were told.
Oh, my God.
We were told.
Do you not understand
back in the
80s.
Oh,
I know.
You're not one of those people.
We were told in the 80s.
What's this?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Greg.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
Somebody tell our listeners what's going on.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
We are on the radio. For anybody that's not watching us on our streaming and on our socials, the wonderful, inimitable, infamous Greg Hughes is celebrating. Do we say big or do we say general?
It's on the cake now, isn't it? So, unfortunately.
Go online to find out how big it actually is. Birthday next week.
We just want to wish him. It doesn't seem correct.
Oh, it's the best decade, I have to say. I'm all for this decade. We all want to wish you a very happy birthday, Greg.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, guys. Oh, yeah. One second.
That's a lot of cameras.
Can I make a wish?
You should make a wish.
And you can make it come true, by the way.
Wish for something you actually have a chance of getting,
I'm just
Greg.
Saying,
wish for something you have a chance of getting.
15% is in my head. Thank you. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate that. How embarrassing. How thoroughly embarrassing.
Well, not as embarrassing as it's going to get. If you're on social media or you happen to know, text Greg's telephone number, his email, anything you like. Just keep sending him all over the weekend and particularly on Monday.
So Monday is
birthday wishes.
Right.
And if you meet him out in the pub, it's not assault to give him the bumps. Just remember that.
Caroline, by the way, this will not be forgotten in a rush, and not in a good way. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, that's very nice. Okay. Very pleasant. And that's where we have to leave it for this week.
Awesome. We've cut the cake now and have a cup of tea.
Yes, indeed. We shall do that. Thank you very much, everyone. Really appreciate it. So it's my birthday on Monday. I hadn't mentioned it. But thanks, Fionnuala. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your day off.
I shall indeed. Michael, a pleasure as
Absolute
always.
Pleasure. Okay. Pleasure. Great
fun. I need a shower now after. I don't perspire, but for some reason that triggered quite a lot of perspiration. All right.
PTSD,
thank you very much,
birthday,
everybody.
PTSD.
Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the game if you're going tomorrow night. And Donald's going to be in with you on Monday. From me, Greg Hughes, and the team of Caroline and Shannon, have a lovely weekend.